on this Earth Day, it's time for some Earth optics at the UN.
By the very act of signing today, the power to build a better world is in your hands. Thank you very much for your leadership and commitment. Thank you. Merci beaucoup.
That's UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon speaking at the signing ceremony today. 163 countries have signed up for the Paris Climate Accord. It's a day for policymakers and citizens all over the world to question exactly how their countries are going to meet aggressive climate targets over the next 30 years to limit warming and sea level rise. And so if you're thinking about climate emissions and resources and fuel and air conditioning and water, it is a good day to ask then, why exactly are they building luxury golf courses in the middle of the desert in Dubai? In a few minutes, a Vice investigation goes to Dubai to look at the labor practices used to build Dubai's luxury playgrounds, including one involving Donald Trump. But first, here in New York, world leaders are betting that even oil-rich countries like the UAE and oil-consuming countries like the U.S. can make the Paris Agreement for real. It's the first major global agreement to stop climate change since the 1997 Kyoto Protocol. Now, the United States Senate never ratified the Kyoto Treaty, and ratification isn't just semantics. Here, President Obama is trying for a de facto ratification by executive order because the Senate still isn't interested. And the Paris Agreement won't go into effect until at least 55 countries, who also account for 55% of emissions, can ratify it and submit those plans to reduce their carbon emissions. But the carbon reduction plans are voluntary, and that has skeptics from within the scientific community questioning just how effective the agreement can be. Dr. David Nabarro is special advisor on the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development at the UN, and he joins me now from the United Nations. Dr. Nabarro, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, today is largely a photo op, the signing of this grand agreement. So given the photo op as a time when the hard work begins, what is the immediate road ahead given all of the countries that are yet to submit final climate plans and final carbon reduction plans?
When we're trying to change the way in which the world addresses a big problem, the first thing we have to do is to get the nations through their leaders to agree to the master plan. And now, on Earth Day, it's the first day when the agreement can actually be signed, and that means it becomes an international treaty. Then each individual country has to ratify it through their own legal processes. But as soon as it's an international treaty, there is already an obligation on countries to be implementing the effort that's needed.
With a lack of enforcement implicit in the deal, how confident are you that pressure remains sufficient on countries to drive those countries to produce credible and accountable plans eventually? Because many countries haven't yet done so.
The evidence of global warming is all around us. It's happening at a pace that surprises even the most hardened climate scientists. Just the records are being shattered all the time. We've also now got millions and millions of people who are suffering as a result of the El Nino drought, and these kinds of effects are just going to get worse. Countries everywhere recognize they've got to act. The issue is, can they act in concert and can they act quickly enough? And the job is for the rest of us in the international system to make sure that they are monitored closely and that they do fulfill their obligations, both in terms of action to reduce carbon emission, that's changing the way they make energy and so on, and secondly, getting money to poor countries, particularly small islands, that are suffering because of increasingly irregular weather.
Well, Dr. Nabarro, you mentioned climate scientists and even climate skeptics. Here's a hardened climate scientist who is skeptical of this deal. You've probably heard of him. He's Dr. James Hansen, formerly with NASA, currently with the Earth Institute at Columbia University. He's been speaking out about the deal that you're helping to sign today.
It's the same old thing that was tried in Kyoto, asking each country to promise, oh, I'll reduce my emissions, I will cap my emissions, I'll reduce them 20% or whatever they decide is they can do. This is half-assed and it's half-baked. It's half-assed because there's no way to make it global. And it's half-baked because there's no enforcement mechanism.
Well, there is no global police, and the UN is the next best thing, but there's one hardened climate scientist who says there really is no enforcement.
So, of course, this gentleman is welcome to say what he says. I'd just love to sit opposite him and say, What are you doing about three generations ahead, your children's children's children? What are you doing to try to make sure that they have a decent life? We have nothing else except for a global treaty mechanism to enforce. And that's, frankly, what we're all pursuing now. And I'll bet you that as a result of this signing that happens today, we will see action everywhere to change the way we live and to change the way we do business. And we'll show that we can have a climate-compatible life and enough food and enough jobs for everybody without having to go on producing carbon and making this earth hotter and hotter.
How concerned are you about these United States? President Obama introduced a fairly aggressive clean power plan. As you know, the target in the United States is to reduce our emissions by 26 to 28%. And right away, that plan is tied up in the courts, tripped up by the Supreme Court, and still remains in doubt. Without United States' immediate leadership in the next 5 years, how concerned are you about the viability of this deal?
So the United States and other major emitters are, of course, absolutely key to the success of the deal. But I would like to stress to you that I'm well aware that we're going to see challenges in countries from those who really do not want to be told that activities are going to reduce their income and change their business prospects. This will be particularly from companies that produce energy in ways that also release a lot of carbon into the atmosphere. That's normal, and we're going to see a lot of that. But what's happening now is that world leaders are saying, we're prepared to put up with that because we know we've got to act. Sitting next to one world leader last night as we were discussing this, he said, we'll try to make sure that the different actors come on board through persuasion, but if they won't, in the end, they will have to be forced through national policies and, if necessary, direct action.
Countries from around the world are signing the International Climate Agreement at the United Nations in New York today. A photo op is meant to convey some accomplishment, but sometimes it's healthy to view a photo op as a sign of hurdles ahead and accountability that's needed. Dr. David Nabarro is hopefully part of that accountability. He is UN Special Advisor on the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and Climate at the UN. Thank you, Dr. Nabarro.
Thank you very much.